I hope many of you were able to hear Chuck Colson yesterday morning at the prayer breakfast. I spent Friday night sharing dinner with him. We had a chance to talk about his concerns for the church, etc. And one of the things he was highlighting is how today in America, recent Gallup polls show that only 32% of people really think the Bible is true. And probably an equal number really question whether a personal God exists, and if he does that God care about us? And I was thinking that if that is true, even in this percentage of people in our church, I think occasionally this needs to be said. I want to give permission to people to be here and not have to buy into everything that we believe in order for you to feel comfortable. There's room to journey in the Christian church. And I feel that today, for example, if you really have trouble believing the Bible is true and accepting its authority for your life, that doesn't mean you can't be here. We're glad you're here. If you have trouble believing even that God exists, but you're here looking and wondering, and if one did exist, you could say you'd really need him, then I can say that's okay too. And you might have trouble with the trappings up here. If I had my druthers, I probably wouldn't wear a robe. Sometimes choir music, if you're not used to it, or even the music of 5 and 6:30, if you're not used to that, maybe it has a strange ring to your ears. I think it was appropriate because Chuck motivated me to say there's room for all kinds of people at all stages in their journey to be in worship service. There is one universal connection, though, that I think all human beings can make, and that is we all need love. And some of us have been disappointed about the potential of finding love, but I'm going to make a suggestion this morning. Wherever you are in your journey, would you join me in letting God love us for the next few moments? Would you open the door to the possibility that God can work in a group of people gathered in His name in a place like this and touch your life where it needs touching and where it needs healing? And if that could happen, then maybe your faith could grow that the Bible might be true. And maybe you could entertain the possibility a God exists who loves you. And in that context, for some of you, would you listen now in these next few moments, and as all of us who believe await a time when God's going to love us, would you bow in prayer with me? Father, I can't think of anything any of us need more today than love without agendas, love without conditions, a love that accepts us where we are, doesn't demand we shape up before it's given, a love that's just there to heal and to lift us up. I pray we'll understand that love, even right now, through the power of your Spirit, working through the power of your word, for we pray in Christ's name. Amen. At a prayer breakfast last spring, I listened to Leah Zell tell her story of being raped as a teenager, followed by a subsequent pregnancy. She gave her child up for adoption and then felt that she was living with a piece missing. All kinds of questions through the years filled her heart, such as, what kind of person had my daughter become? Was she happy? And above all, was she a Christian? What Lee didn't know was that her daughter had lived with that same missing piece, a fact that sent her on a search for her birth mother. When the two were finally reunited 30 years later, mother and daughter both discovered that the other was a Christian. Today, these women are good friends, although the daughter, of course, remains committed to her adoptive mother. Leah Zell's story touched me because it reminded me of how most of us, if not all of us, live with some kind of missing piece. A pain that our text calls a thorn. Thorns can be as different as our names, such as piercing heartbreaks, unfulfilled dreams, fears, haunting anxieties, things that literally obsess us, so we think about them most of the time. And as I alluded earlier at the beginning of the worship service, these thoughts, these obsessions on our pain or on our need put us into a kind of prison of bitterness and frustration. And from that prison, we often strike out at God and at the church and at others. Now, our text calls these hurts thorns in the flesh. And today, I want to take a few moments to discuss what God might do to help us cope with these missing pieces, these areas in our life where maybe we've even given up hope of ever there being any possible change. And we kind of feel doomed to live in this mediocre level of just existing without grasping fullness of joy and being fully alive. First, from the Apostle Paul's confession, we learn this truth. Christians have thorns. Even the best Christians, if we think Paul the Apostle was, has thorns. Thorns are not something of which to be ashamed, nor should they be hidden, although most of us do. In fact, Paul confesses, verse 7, to keep me from becoming conceited, because of these surpassingly great revelations, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger from Satan. Now, happily, Paul didn't tell us what his thorn was, so that maybe all of us can sort of dream that maybe he had what I have. But we do know our own thorns, and here's just a few more in the list. Unemployment and financial strain, rampant in this congregation for the first time in my whole 20 years here. Broken relationships that literally keep gnawing at our hearts. Whether we're single or whether we're married, we still have relational hurts that haunt us. And then we have those feelings that we're not as smart or as successful or as good looking as we wanted to be. Or we have those feelings about our children. And then some of us have physical ailments that don't go away, that are not going to go away in this life. And we haven't quite made peace with living with those kinds of pains. So thorns are common to all of us. What I'm hoping the Holy Spirit helps us understand today is that it's our attitude toward our thorns, not necessarily the fact that we have them, that really is strategic in our life. Most of us are focused on getting rid of the thorn, but we haven't entertained the possibility that the living God can do a miracle in actually changing our attitude toward our thorn, which in itself may be a healing. Now, I find it fascinating that Paul is so open. Here he is, a Christian leader, and you know, most of this century it was said that Christians, and particularly Christian leaders, never admit weakness. We were taught in seminary, don't expose your vulnerable spots to the congregation. Well, Paul certainly was vulnerable with us in this text. He describes his pain as a messenger from Satan, and he tells the whole world about it. His point is that to have a thorn is painful, but thorns are not sinful. They're not things to be hidden. They're not things of which to be ashamed. But here is the other side of the coin. Not to share thorns, to pretend in church like we don't have them, like everything's okay, and not to share our pain with others, to live in this prison of dealing with our hurts all in isolation. That's the tragedy. And I believe that's part of the message that the Holy Spirit is trying to get through to us in this text. In Southern California, there's a newscast anchor woman that I always watch when I'm down visiting my sister. Her name is Bree Walker. She's been physically deformed in both hands since birth. Every night, she appears in front of her television audience, shuffling papers with one finger on each hand because that's all she has. She has two stumps, one finger on each stump. I was actually fascinated because rather than crawl into some corner of insignificance, blaming God and feeling that her thorn made her unqualified for a public job, Bree literally fought her way into that anchor position of a leading newscast. And all of us admire that kind of courage and perseverance that doesn't hide weakness, but exposes it and uses it with God's power, almost with an in spite of attitude. I'm handicapped in my hands, but that's going to be a catalyst to success, not an excuse making me a victim. Again, I think the Lord wants us to understand it's our attitude toward our thorn that's more important than the thorn itself, because we all have them, and it's what we do with them that's strategic in life. In our text, Paul reveals not only his thorn, but his attitude toward his thorn. And I think this is extremely fascinating. He begins by calling his thorn a messenger from Satan. And then he plugs in his faith in Jesus Christ. And now he's saying, looking at his thorn, when I'm weak, then I'm strong. Here is a truth you can galvanize into your heart. Our Lord can take what is weakest in us and transform it into a treasure. In the Christian life, tragedies can become triumphs. That's not a cliche, it's an absolute truth. Last Father's Day, I was feeling a missing piece deep inside me that surprised me greatly. I'm not one to break out in tears, literally for no reason, but I talked to my kids. We were away and we were talking to them on the phone about Father's Day, and I found myself experiencing deep grief and spilling tears. So I discussed it with my wife. And I came to understand that an old hurt was scratching on the walls of my soul. I was still missing a relationship with my dad who's been gone over 10 years. Dad was a fabulous Christian, a loving father, but he had to work so hard to provide for us that he never really had enough time for me. There were no fishing trips, no long walks. I never played soccer or baseball with him. I never really had an intimate discussion with Dad. We had no time for friendship. I knew he loved me. I admired him. I loved him deeply, but we didn't have what dads and sons are supposed to have. And I realized on that Father's Day, I had been out watching dads and sons relate. And it was almost this unconscious missing piece that suddenly erupted inside of me. And this grief surprised me after so many years that it was still there. What we missed together didn't seem fair. But this is how I've processed it since. I realized that missing piece, yes, it wasn't fair, and it's sad. And I can make sure my kids don't have to say the same thing when I'm gone. But then I had another insight. People are always asking me, what's the secret of Menlo Presbyterian? And my first answer is, well, whatever the secret is, it's the staff, it's our allegiance to Jesus Christ, it's our highlighting of Scripture. But what's really come to me since this Father's Day experience is that God has used Walt Gerber's weakness, his missing piece, in an interesting way. If you think about it with me, if you've been hanging around here for a while, you'll know I'm always asking you people to love each other. And I don't call this congregation a congregation, I call us a family because that's who we are. And I'm always telling you that I want you to love people who walk through that door, because literally lavishing love on people is necessary before they can hear anything we have to say. Nobody can resist love. And I say that because I finally understand I'm not the only one who had a missing piece in my family. All of us, to some degree, have a missing piece when it came to missing something in our homes. And the Lord has given this church family the opportunity to fill in what we didn't get while we were being raised. And my very weakness, the only thing I can offer as a pastor, because I know I can't turn enough nuts and spin enough plates to keep this place going strong, but God has used this area of weakness in me. I'm a fanatic on love because I need it so desperately, and that in turn has become a catalyst where all of us are attracted and together find the satisfying love of Jesus Christ. Now that's one example of what God can do with one guy's weakness to bless other people. So rather than become a victim and moan and keep on being in some pit of depression because my dad didn't give me everything I needed, God has turned that into a blessing for others. And here's my point. You don't have my pain today, but all of us have a missing piece of some sort. Don't keep your thorns a secret. Share them with God and with special Christian friends. Climb out of your prison of preoccupation with your thorn and understand God might use your pain rather than take it away for a possible ministry. Only what we seek to hide can hurt us. And that's why I told you about my missing piece today. I'm sure you wonder, if you who are psychologically oriented anyway, wonder what makes Gerber tick. Well, that's one more ingredient of what helps determine the kind of leadership I exert here. It's good for you to know that. I don't think that makes me less in your sight. And nobody's going to turn you off for sharing your thorn with them. One elder said this truth, name it and you can tame it. And I think that's what Paul is telling us as a first step for coping with our missing pieces. Think about it. There's a second truth in our text. God's healing of thorns may not change our circumstances, only our attitude. I've alluded to that already. Now listen what happened when Paul, who deserved to have his prayer answered by my measure, took his thorn to God. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. Maybe you've asked God 100 times. But God said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." In other words, Paul, you're better off to me for my kingdom's sake if I leave you weak than if I give you a pseudo strength where you don't need me. Therefore, Paul says, I will boast. No longer a messenger from Satan. I'm going to boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. And that's why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong. You know, I really understand that. I understand faith in Jesus Christ helps Walt Gerber make peace with his weaknesses, and it enables me not to have to stand up here in front of you with shingles of strength, but my weaknesses that make me depend on Jesus Christ. That's what makes me a strong leader. That's what makes you strong. Paul discovered to his surprise that God didn't take away his thorn, but God healed his attitude. I need to tell you, and maybe it's not what you want to hear, often God's cure for hurts involves no change in circumstances, only a change in how we view the circumstances and how we believe God can use the circumstances. Paul saw his thorn as a treasure, binding him to the Lord, a source of strength, a gift to be used for the benefit of others. So he stopped asking God to deliver him. He got his eyes off of himself and started using his hurt for others. I think that's an incredible answer for the pain that afflicts us as human beings. Praising God for thorns reminded me of an account I read of Beethoven's life. Maybe you know this story. At the zenith of his career, this composer was stricken with a progressive disease that made him totally deaf. Could anything worse happen to a great composer than to lose his hearing? Well, this loss drove him from the Vienna musical community, apparently a meaningless tragedy, not only for himself, but for the world. So he retreated to a monastery and he sought help, divine help, for his pain. And after months there, God gave him a surprising answer to his prayer for healing. He began to hear new music in his mind. Writing furiously, he transferred silent sounds to musical notes of praise to God, music of joy and power. And the result was his famous Ninth Symphony. It was performed for the first time in Vienna with Beethoven standing on the platform. If you can envision, Beethoven was standing there watching the conductor and the orchestra perform his music, and he was feeling the vibrations of the music with his feet because that's as close as he could get into the sound. And at the end of the concert, the conductor turned Beethoven around so he could see the thunderous applause as the audience responded to this great work. The piece was so outstanding, Beethoven was restored to his former greatness in the musical circles. And today, you and I know this symphony that, in the form of a hymn that's going to be played as a postlude today. Joyful, joyful, we adore thee. You know how it goes? Joyful, joyful, we adore thee. God of glory, Lord of love. Hearts unfold like flowers before thee, opening to the sun above. That came out of a man who had been stricken deaf. Had everything humanly taken away from him in terms of his composing ability, and out of his heart flows an anthem that brings praise and joy and fulfillment to God. So rather than hide in a monastery of self-pity, Beethoven blessed the world and us with music heard only with his heart. Brothers and sisters, I covet this spirit for us as we relate to our thorns. We've got to get out of these prison cells of preoccupation with me and my pain, this victim mentality that says, because God has ripped me off, I'm not going to fully live. I'd rather sit here in my prison, my monastery of self-pity. When will we understand that God needs to be allowed to be God in our lives and that He will respond to our prayers in His timing and in His way? I think the truth of Isaiah is phenomenal. He said, speaking for God, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so are my thoughts higher than your thoughts, and my ways higher than your ways." When will we believe that? Because that's the key to finding freedom from thorns. Now, I need to tell you, I've discovered God often asks Christians to live a lifetime with unfulfillment. We don't have any promise of a quick fix. There aren't any divine buttons to push to get you over your problems. Missing pieces may plague us for our entire future. However, if we allow God to do it, this very morning, He can transform your attitude toward your thorns so that your weakness becomes a strength. Even to the point, do you dare believe it, that with Paul you could boast about your weakness and delight in it? Maybe as I have done in front of you today, boasting about my missing piece as perhaps one answer as to why God has used this guy in Menlo Park. God can do surprising things with hopeless thorns. I remember the smile just a few weeks ago on a mother. I don't know if she's here today. She went out my door holding this baby. And she was telling me, "This is my newly adopted baby." After years of asking God to take away their missing piece of infertility as a couple, God gave them a baby through adoption. Not what they asked, but maybe something better. My point, God has many ways to answer your deepest need today, even without taking away your thorn. If you'll just allow Him to be God, trust His solutions, trust His time frames, rather than trying to superimpose those time frames and solutions you've created from your finite mind on God, because He won't let you do it. Well, if any of this makes sense today, I trust you can leave church with a new attitude toward things like how to stay sane during your long job search and unbearable financial stress when you wonder whether you're going to have your house next month. Or I hope you'll use it to stay committed in a marriage when every secular voice says, "Get out." Or I hope you'll use it to find strength just to show up tomorrow morning to a routine task that seems meaningless, seems to degrade you, and you're not finding any meaning to where God puts you. Or maybe it's going to be used to venture into a situation that you know you're called to do, but you know it's doomed to failure unless God intervenes. Join the crew. I feel that way every time I stand in front of you. This place is doomed to failure unless God shows up. Weakness is power in the life of a Christian. What you do with it depends on the choice that you make. I find it interesting that the solution for missing pieces is a choice. Are we a victim or are we a victor? Are we going to go on wallowing in a tragedy or are we going to let God make it a triumph? I trust this morning could be a crossroads of a choice you'll make to make it a victory and a triumph. Would you bow with me in prayer? Lord, You know our missing pieces. You made us. You love us. And I know You want everybody today to step out of our prisons of self-pity, of if-onlys, of dreams that we'll start to live when we get it. And Lord, in this moment now, will You show us You love us? Will You work in our heart by taking the broken pieces, touching them with Your hand, and bringing a healing that was beyond our wildest dreams? Amen.